Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Not only do I find this to be entertaining for the audience, but we're also doing a public service because this moment right now, this next, 15, 20-minute time period is the highlight of the week for our next guest because I think he tweeted that it's the highlight of his week. And that is John Heyman. John, we're honored that this is the highlight of your week.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Somebody tweeted to me that, sadly, it was the highlight of his week. And wow. I said, you know what? It's mine, too. So,
I guess when you think about it, that's pretty sad.
That's what he said.
By the way, let me talk a little business. First of all, let me get business out of the way. It's very important. The John Heyman Report is being brought to you by Sport Clips. You watch sports. We cut hair. It's perfect. Sport Clips, It's Good to Be a Guy. By Meridiana, round-trip flights from our $144, not bad, $140, all-inclusive. And by Merrick Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Meridiana, to get it accurate. John, are you going to sign with that Athletic too? Because they're signing everybody.
No, I'm under contract.
Okay.
I'm under contract. I've just re-upped with the fan. Good. Big news there.
Oh, really?
Well, for the year. And, I'm under contract. I'm not going anywhere.
I'm just making sure because every time I look up, another writer
I know.
Is leading him.
Really, it's going to be interesting to see whether they succeed. And we in journalism all hope that it really is a rousing success. And they have hired quite a lot of good.
Why would you hope it's a rousing success if you don't work there? I don't
understand. I hope that journalism does well, and I hope that we figure out how to make money on the internet, and we gave away our stories for too long. It's all free now, and people expect free journalism. And you know what? People are working hard and making little, and I want them to do well.
I'm just a
regular nice guy who wants people to do well. That's all.
You're right.
I'm not rooting for ESPN, though, if you're interested.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're picking sides, clearly, in the whole media.
Well, they frustrated me today because my daughter and I wanted to see Michaela Schifrin's gold medal run. And, I assumed it was going to be at the top of the hour. And we had to wade through 25 minutes of NBA regular season games, which is just basically advertising for ESPN.
Well, I was just about to say, can't you figure out the reason why?
I mean, that's ridiculous. Come on. Let's put some journalism into this and realize that history is made when a young lady from the United States wins a gold medal on the giant slalom. It's fantastic.
I will say this about that, and this is not a knock on ESPN because it's just it's they do sports. They don't do one sport, even though it may feel like it's mostly one sport. They do sports. Like, when I want my baseball highlights or I want to watch baseball-related stuff, it's great. I turn on MLB Network, I see your beautiful mug, and I'm getting my baseball.
No, I know you're kidding.
When I want NBA stuff, I turn on NBA TV. And with this Olympic stuff, there's actually, I don't know if everybody gets it, there's Olympic channels that are out there. So you turn on this channel, and you get all the Olympic stuff. So I think that's one of the things. When you're looking for something specific nowadays, there's a specific place to go, and you know you're going to get that and not something else.
Right, but the ESPN's not supposed to be specific for the NBA. They should have some other sports, too, occasionally.
Oh, I agree. I'm merely saying that I don't go there now
right.
for that.
Like, no, well, it used to be more balanced. I mean, I like
fair
all
and balanced.
Sports, so I'd like to see all sports, but I'd like to see it in some kind of a logical order, not in the order of where their revenues are coming
Here's
from.
Here's the problem. Right? And now we're talking about broadcasting and media, but
well,
I'll use SNY as an example, right?
Yeah.
SNY has the Mets and they have the Jets. So don't you think that naturally they will do more Mets and Jets stuff than Yankees and Giants stuff?
You know what? Yes, a little bit. But you know what? I give SNY credit. They do everything, and they're very good about it.
Oh,
and
no.
They let people – and SNY, the Mets, we knock them about not spending, and also they are terrific. You never hear from the Will Punch saying you can't say this or that on the air. Look at their broadcast, their game broadcast. They are freewheeling. They are the best in the business, and it's because they have the – freedom to say what they want, partly. I mean, they're very good at what they do, Darling and Hernandez and Cone, but I give the Mets people credit in the way they handle that. And I think they are pretty democratic and do the Yankees and the other teams.
It's kind of like ESPN. ESPN, I'm sure, does hockey, but they're probably not doing as much of it, mainly because they have the NBA. And the NBA is more popular.
Right. But
SNY
is a Mets channel. We know that.
Right.
ESPN is supposed to be a sports channel, not the NBA channel, is my point.
I get what you're saying. Anyhow, it's an interesting discussion.
I'm sorry.
No, but as far as the free content, like, let me tell you something, man. Like, when the internet started, it was so cool that, hey, I can get all this stuff for free. I can read all these articles for free. So it's very difficult to tell the consumer, you had that for free, and now you've got to pay for it. But it's doable. Look at satellite radio. Had radio for free. Why would I pay for something? People have done it. The same thing with a Spotify for music. So I think it's just kind of convincing the consumer that it's worth it because there's something there that's so good they're willing to pay for it. And John Heyman, if I had to pay for John Heyman, I'd probably pay it because I like John Heyman.
That is awesome. Well, FanRag is free. We are free, so go right ahead.
There you go. That's why I have satellite radio because of Howard Stern. I pay for him. I think it's worth it. I pay for him. You know, Mark Carrig's a really good writer. I was saying to Carrig on Twitter, I was like, man, you went to this athletic. I may have to pay for it now.
Yeah.
I wasn't kidding. I like him. I want to read his
stuff. They got a lot of good people. I got to admit it. They've done a nice job. Obviously, they have Rosenthal and Jason Stark and a lot of good people. But, $48,000. A lot of people don't want to pay that $48,000. I didn't give it a thought because I'm in baseball. I have to see what's being said. But,
sure.
48's, it adds up, I guess, for
people.
But I hope it succeeds, even though I'm rooting for FanRag more. I do hope that the
athletic... I like FanRag. You know, it's funny, when you first went there, I was like, I don't know what the FanRag is, but the reason I become more accustomed to it is I end up being linked to FanRag all the time because you have a lot of good stories, not just you, but and not just baseball, but lots of sports. So I've ended up becoming more familiar with FanRag, and I enjoy
Thank
it.
You. Terrific.
I enjoy it. All right.
I like that. And we are free still.
You are free. All right, good. Hey, listen, man. I like that part the most. All right, let's get to free agency. Right now, when is this stupid dam going to break?
Like, I don't know. We saw it with Yu Darvish, and I don't think it has because I talked to two agents, two, 3 days after Darvish. One said that inspired no extra calls. The other said slow as molasses. Things are not moving. It's amazing to me what's going on. You still have the top two position players and three out of the top four pitchers out there. We still have 90, 20B free agents. 20B is the rule where regular free agents, the six-year free agents, the top guys. It's incredible. It really is. I mean, this camp that's going on, I don't think any of the better players are there, but it's a little weird. The writers aren't allowed. The scouts were pulled away yesterday. I think the scout for the Royals was told not. It's like very secretive, but I don't think the better. We don't know because we're not allowed to look at it. But the better players are not there. The better players are either at the Scott Boras training facility, or they're training on their own, or they're at home, or whatever. But spring training's too long anyway. But I mean, this is getting to be ridiculous.
If you took the team of free agents and made a team out of them, they could compete to win the pennant.
I think they'd be excellent.
Their pitching staff would be Jake Arrieta, Lance Lynn, Alex Cobb as your front three guys. And then you could fill out the rotation with, let's say, Chris Tillman, Jason Vargas, Jaime Garcia. You have Hosmer at first, JD in the outfield, Lucroy's your catcher, Moustakas is at third, Nooney is at second. I don't know if we have a shortstop. We may have to.
It might have to be Nunez at short, Neil Walker at second. But, you know, there's other ways you could go with it. We're a little weak at short because Nunez is really good at second and third. He's not really a shortstop.
Yeah, that's our weakness.
You got J.J. Hardy still out there.
There you go. J.J. Hardy. And Greg Holland is closer. And let me ask you about Holland because we see a lot of starting pitchers still out there. Most of the relievers got paid this offseason. Why is Greg Holland, coming off a very good year with the Rockies, proving he's healthy, why hasn't he signed? What's the holdup with him?
I know that they had talked, they engaged with Colorado. Colorado had made some offer. That was the guy that they wanted first. I presume that the offer wasn't good enough at the time, and they didn't take it. And now we'll see what happens. He succeeded in Colorado. He's a really good pitcher. He's had 40 saves three times, but his second half wasn't great. So, to now go and think you're going to get more than Davis, I'm not sure that's going to happen. We'll see. I mean, the Cubs, I never count them out. They don't appear to have a lot of money right now under the threshold, and they want to stay under. They don't really have a set closer. The Cardinals also do not have a set closer. So I'm looking at those two teams most. And then, of course, we also have the Scott Boras Nationals, who have a decent bullpen now. Now they rebuilt it,
Nationals,
but really don't have that kind of a closer. Doolittle did a nice job last year, but they could do it as well.
Do you think that, because now we're here, we're at this territory of, okay, spring training is starting, and in a week we're going to have games starting. Do you think we are going to have, not John Lackey or Chris Tillman, I'm talking about Jake Arrieta, the big names. Do you think we're going to have guys unsigned going into opening day? Is that possible?
It's possible. I mean, we got, 6 weeks to go or so until the season starts. You wouldn't think so. I can remember Kyle Loesch, who at the time was a pretty good free agent signing. It was around March 25th. I don't have the exact date, something like that. And then he was able to fit into the rotation, even a pitcher. I think he pitched the fourth game or something like that of the year. He wasn't able to start game one as he would have for Milwaukee that year, but was able to pitch. So that was late. But to go into the season, I think it would be improbable. Obviously we had that one year where they had trouble and Andre Dawson signed late and got $500,000. There were guys who signed into the season, I believe, that year. But I'm not going to rule it out at this point. I mean, some teams and players are way apart still, as far as I can tell.
Do you see, and we're talking to John Heyman about the baseball, do you see the Yankees going how far for Mike Moustakas? Because they do have Miguel Andujar, who I know we only saw him for like four games in the major leagues last year, but they were magnificent four games. I mean, the guy hit like 540. He was like 5-for-9, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So we should over-exaggerate on that and basically say he's going to be a Hall of Famer. But
he can hit. No, I think that's fair to say. The question is the fielding.
Yes.
He definitely can hit.
So does having Andujar as a possibility to be the third baseman move the Yankees into the territory of saying, look, we'd sign Moustakas, but only for 1 year? Because if we lock him up longer than that, then we're blocking that position.
Yes, I do think it would have to be a short-term deal for Moustakas if they were to do it. And I never thought that Moustakas would end up with a short-term deal. Third base is a tricky spot. Justin Turner, at least in my view, a better player than Mike Moustakas. He only had one offer. He went back to his old team. He was fortunate that it was the Dodgers who wanted him badly, paid a decent rate, not as much as you might think for Justin Turner, though. I think he's really terrific. Went back there, got that offer, even though he had no other offer, so it was pretty good that he even got that. Third base is just a tough spot. I think when the Angels filled up with Cozart and the Giants filled up with Longoria, Moustakas was at a bit of an issue at that point. So we will see. I still think the Royals are the most likely, and I think if the Royals get Hosmer, I don't think they're going to be able to do Moustakas too, but Hosmer could go to the Padres, he could go somewhere else, and then I think the Royals, they may go for back to Moustakas at that point, and they may be willing to do it. They would be willing to do a multi-year. So, but I think in Moustakas at this point, things are not going that great. It's possible that he would consider a 1 year at the right price. The issue then, too, is how much is that price? Because, he didn't take the qualifying offer of 17. The right now, depending on who you talk to, they're between 16 and 22 million away from the luxury tax threshold. They are not going over that. They've made that clear, and I do believe that they will not go over that. Unless they trade Ellsbury or somebody like that, it's going to be tough to see them bring in Moustakas in, even in a one-year deal. But for him, short porch, incredible team. They need a lefty. That's kind of more for them than him, but makes sense, but in terms of working out financially, that's why we consider it a long shot at this point.
Do you see it possible of the Yankees or Mets adding the second tier starting pitcher, the Alex Cobb, Lance Lynn? Because I look at that, there's three tiers. There's Jake Arrieta. I'll put him on tier one. I get it. We'll put tier two is Lynn and Cobb, and then tier three is everybody else. Chris Tillman and Jaime Garcia, guys like that.
Yeah, I think it's possible, but I'm going to put with the Yankees the same kind of a long shot because of the luxury tax threshold. I kind of think they'd have to trade Ellsbury or somebody of that ilk to really make the room for a Cobb, and that seems to be the guy that they would prefer.
Because of the experience in the American League East?
I'm not really sure what's going on with Lynn. I mean, I have not heard his name connected with anybody, and he's a pretty good pitcher. I mean, I know since Joe's not on, I can say he has a 1.22 ERA plus over his career.
No, you can't say that. I don't like that either. All right?
Just well, he's not as tough on it as you are.
True.
You occasionally let it slide.
That's true. Joe will go on a rant at you. You geek in the basement, bro.
Very good. Very good. You know, I haven't heard Lynn, and I've heard Cobb with the Yankees. So, you know, if they make the room, they could do one or the other between Cobb and Moustakas. That's if they make the room. If they don't make the room, it's going to be tough, I think. The Mets, you know, they're talking about how, what Mickey said, they have the best arms he's seen, and all this, and said we don't have to sign a pitcher. I mean, I still think that's part of the negotiation. You know, I still think, even though they say it's unlikely they'll get Cobb or Lynn, it probably is unlikely. Only one team's going to get Cobb. Only one team's going to get Lynn. There are a lot of teams that need pitchers, but I'm not ruling that out for the Mets. I mean, they certainly can't afford it. You know, who knows what Lynn's going to get at this point. I still think Cobb's going to get a pretty good deal. So, you know, maybe Lynn is more of a likelihood than Cobb for the Mets.
Can I throw a name at you? And I guess I didn't watch close enough every Oriole game to know what the heck happened. But Chris Tillman was like one of those solid guys that would make 30 starts a year. He wasn't spectacular. He was okay. Last year was a disaster. I mean, he made Matt Harvey look good. Like, he was abysmally bad. He's a free agent. He's 30 or 29. Like, what about a guy like him? Because I think we've seen him, you know, 3-4 years in a row, give you 30 starts here and be one of those innings-eating kind of guys. What about a guy like Chris Tillman for either team? Because I don't think he's going to make a lot of money, especially coming off last year.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be a bad option. I saw Wade Miley got a minor league deal, but Tillman's had a little bit more of a track record that's been positive other than last year. So I think he's probably still holding out for a major league deal, and this logjam is holding everything up. I think teams are waiting to see. The Mets are saying it's unlikely that they get Lynn or Cobb, but they're waiting to see if it's possible before they probably jump in on the next group, which would be Vargas, Cashner, Hellickson, and you know what, Tillman might even be below that group at this point, and I do think he should get a major league deal based on the fact that he was good every year but last year, but should be a one-year deal to reset for him and for the team. But I'm with you. I don't think he's a bad choice, but he's a maybe. You know, if you get a Lynn or a Cobb, you get a good starting pitcher and a rotation, and you've actually had a very good offseason and excellent compared to other teams.
I agree with you.
Basically, you've had 8 teams improve to this point. You know, the other 22 teams have either sat on their hands or gotten worse.
I look at it this way, and I'm probably being too tough, but guess what? I don't accept mediocrity. I think the Mets have had a C-plus offseason. C-plus, but okay.
C-plus, but better than almost everybody else.
That's fine, but we're not grading on a curve, John. I'm grading
well, they are competing against the other teams.
I get that, but if the other teams were already better, then...
Yeah, I get you.
Okay.
I got you.
But if they signed Lynn or Cobb, I would erase the C-plus. I'd give him an A-minus. Not even kidding you.
I would give them an A. And remember how we were clamoring for Giancarlo at the beginning and whoever, but at this point, you know, I mean, realistically, you get that third baseman, you get that extra outfielder bat, and you add a very good starting pitcher. Let's give him an A.
All right,
of course, once they do it, we can tell them it's really an A-.
Sure.
We'll call it an A for now to give them some encouragement.
Just to get them to do it, sure.
Yes, exactly.
Now, you still work for MLB Network, right?
Yes.
Okay. Were you on the panels that were voting for these top 10 right now things?
I was not. I think it was mostly Brian Kenny, the Shredder, which is they input some numbers. I'm not sure.
Shredder was the bad guy in Ninja Turtles.
The bad guy in
Shredder.
What?
Shredder was the bad guy in Ninja Turtles. Am I wrong about this, everybody?
The bad guy.
Yeah. So, Ernie, was Shredder the bad guy in Ninja Turtles?
Yes. Yeah,
thank
he's a
you.
Bad.
All right. I'm just pointing that out. I'm Googling this now.
The Shredder did a bad job. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying he was the bad person. He was the heel. He was the enemy, whatever you want to call it. Joker, you know?
Yeah, I thought the Shredder, they need to input some better numbers. So the Shredder did not do well, I thought. They import, I mean, Mike Lowell does the third base, and they have Preston Wilson do center field, and the other guys who work for MLB Network do their pick along with Brian Kenny. For each one, and then the Shredder does each one. But I think the Shredder needs an oil change or something. I don't think the Shredder is really it's on the fritz or something. I saw some of the picks, and they made no sense.
Oh, my God. The John, I know I shouldn't care because it's just, you know, like really at the end of the day, what does it mean? I totally get that. But I got to ask you a question. I want to ask your honest opinion. Is Tim Beckham a better shortstop than Didi Gregorius?
No, that was stupid. I went in there and I went crazy on that one.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
Okay. I just want.
He had a big month. He had a big August for Baltimore. I mean, there's not any reason to consider that. I mean, at that point, I would have given the Shredder sent it into the shop and gotten it fixed. I mean, there was three or four guys on that bottom that, like, you're like, what? How is that? DD should be in the middle of that pack.
Of course,
I mean,
he's
really
should.
Good. He's got power. I do think he probably gets downgraded a little bit on the on base. So, you know, I could see him 5-6 somewhere in that range. But really good player, really good all around player, and the shredder. Someone needs to take a baseball bat to the shredder.
Listen,
or something.
It's not working. I tell you, last year this Paul DeJong with the Cardinals had a great year. Okay, I don't want to get on him. He was fantastic.
Right.
He was amazing. We're putting him as like a top three shortstop in baseball.
Was he really? The shredder
yeah.
did.
The stupid shredder.
Stupid shredder.
And I'll tell you something else, and I shouldn't be angry about this, but I'll tell you why I'm angry. I believe that sometimes in this town, our own fan bases disrespect our own players. Like, I think at times Yankee fans disrespect Gary Sanchez. I think they just forget about how good he is offensively.
Yeah, and because how... Judge overshadowed him, maybe.
I think that. I think the pass balls. Here's the other thing that's happened, and I've been fighting this fight for 3 years, even though it's not worth fighting anymore. Jacob DeGrom's been the ace of the Mets for 3 years. Now, it became obvious last year because he was the only freaking guy standing, and so
right.
everyone had to admit it. Your shredder.
My shredder.
Put Noah Syndergaard and Kyle Hendricks, give me a break, in the top 10, and they disrespected Big Jake. And I'm making this prediction. I bet you Mickey Callaway starts Noah Syndergaard on opening day. Are you kidding? Jacob DeGrom's the ace of this team. Why is this a debate?
It's not a debate.
Thank
and
you.
That's the thing about the shredder. The shredder does not debate. He just spits out these picks, most of them poor, and that's it. There's no debate. Jacob DeGrom is the ace of the staff.
Right.
We don't need to debate that.
All right. Then I feel better about things.
Yeah. It was a bad year for the shredder. I concede that point.
I'm going to ask you a very random question, and I know you're not going to want to answer it because you want to save it. You want to save it for fanrag.com, and I get that. But as we sit here in the middle of February, if I ask you to answer this question within 10 seconds, don't even think about it. Just give me the first thing that comes to your head. How would you answer what the World Series is going to be this year? How would you answer that? One.
Who's going to be in the World Series?
Give me the two teams. You got 9 seconds. 8, 7, 6. Just give me two teams. 5.
Yankees.
4.
Dodgers.
3. Okay. Cool. I appreciate the answer. I'm going to check in on you next month. We'll see if it changes.
Okay. All right.
John, you're the best. We appreciate it.
All right. Good talking to you.
All right. John Heyman. John Heyman on all the baseball. FanRag.com does a great job there. It's free, by the way, in case you were curious. MLB Network. And, of course, right here on the Fan. I like that. I think sometimes when you ask a question, you don't give anybody time to think about it. Just the first thing that pops to your mind. Now, he'll change that. Guaranteed. And I get it. He's going to think about it more. He's going to analyze the shredder and the stats and everything. And he'll come up with a different World Series, but I like that. I'm going to try this again. Ernie, you have 7 seconds. Give me the World Series.
Yankees-Nationals.
Okay. Yankees-Nationals.
I had time to think about it because I knew you were going to ask me, so it was more like a minute and a half.
You knew I was going to transition into that question? Good. Don't ask me because I don't want to put myself out there quite yet. I like to think about things.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.